another midweek pod discussing another midweek defeat. It can only be Under the Abbey Stand. Hello and welcome to today's episode. I'm your host, my name is Jordan Warland, and I'm wondering if we're ever going to pick up points on a Tuesday night. Joining me is a man that's hopefully going to tell me it's going to happen when we play Wickham. It's Tom Walker.
Yeah, good evening, George. Don't want to disappoint you, but if ever there was a fixture that you don't want coming up when you're trying to break a spell of Tuesday night defeats, probably playing Wickham is exactly the one that you don't want, because they seem to have a bit of a knack of making life quite easy for themselves at the Abbey. But let's see. Hopefully that game's going to be quite irrelevant anyway, so we don't have to think about it.
They are obviously the last team we beat on a Tuesday night, so there's a nice kind of symmetry there. So maybe the universe is shaping up for that. And
yeah, maybe. Although
probably not.
I will credit Matt Casper with this, because it is very much his stat. But the last Tuesday night away, or last Tuesday night game, sorry, that we won was obviously Wickham away. Like you quite rightly say. Since then, on Tuesday, 16 games, we've lost 13 of them and drawn 3, which. It's going to take a bit more than a miracle, I think, at this stage to make that a good record. So, not too optimistic, but we're not here to talk about that, are we, Jordan? We're here to talk about last Tuesday and also Saturday.
Absolutely. Before we do that, just want to check in. How are you feeling? How angry are you? You were quite upset earlier about the FA Cup news.
Yeah, big time. That's maybe one to go into on a mailbag, I guess. It's another tangent. Mate, there's plenty enough to be upset about with Cambridge United, I think, without getting into the wider football structure and the way that a few significant individuals at the top end of the pyramid seem to get their way at the expense of everybody else. That's for another time. Let's moan about some other stuff.
On the plus side, I guess if there's less FA Cup games, there's less chances you'll miss significant FA Cup goals.
Yeah, that's good. Just stick the boot in while it's still raw. That's good. Thanks for that.
Let's talk about Tuesday night then. Away to Bristol Rovers. I'm really annoyed about Tuesday, Tom. I'm really annoyed because I went on the Bristol Rovers fan podcast to help preview the game. Took about 40 minutes of my life doing that, including answering questions as they were coming in from their viewers about certain Bristol Rovers players and whether they're going to play again and all sorts. But on that pod, I was quite bullish. I was like, do you know what? Gary Monk's team talk is going to be go out there tonight, get the job done. Don't take it to the last week. Don't have to, you know, worry about trying to get points against automatic promotion chasing Derby County or Wickham or anything like that. Get the job done. And yeah, did not go to plan, did it? I know they won on Saturday, but they're on a terrible run of form before that. Hadn't scored or picked up points at home. It really felt like a game to go and attack and try and sort of force ourselves on the game. And what we saw on Tuesday night was essentially sit back and try and get a point. And we couldn't even do that particularly well. And I feel like we left with exactly what we deserve, Tom. But I'm annoyed about Tuesday. Give me your hot takes.
I don't have loads to add to that. I think I agree with pretty much everything you said. I think it perfectly encapsulated everything about this team that is not very good. Mediocre on the ball. Not really a massive threat going forward. Can never rely on us at the back. Certainly not now, you know, as opposed to maybe a bit earlier in the season, where obviously we started with quite a strong clean sheet record. I thought it was really, really poor, to be honest. I think in the context of everything, and you know, particularly when you talk about Bristol Rovers, and I think they have some quality in that squad. I think that front three is really good for this level. Thomas, Sinclair and Martin are obviously three good players at this level who can pose you problems. And for the first half, I thought they gave us the runaround, to be honest, particularly Sinclair, who I thought was brilliant until he came off and was a really, really, really a real handful for us to cope with or try and cope with. But it didn't look like a Bristol Rovers team that was hugely motivated to go out and win that game of football. And that's understandable because they're right in the middle of the table. They don't need to go out and win the game. They don't need to exert themselves. And, you know, whether it's a conscious or a subconscious thing, I just thought we might want it a bit more. And I'm not suggesting that the effort wasn't there. And I think actually, if anything, that's probably the least of my worries from Tuesday night. But I just thought the quality was so low with everything. Thought everything was a little bit off. The passing was really slow. Misplaced a lot of passes. Never really worked a proper chance for open play, which is really poor. Again, like if you go back to XG, I know Gary Monk in his interview, which we'll talk about, mentioned like loads and loads of chances that we missed. You know, we created around about half a goal in terms of the XG, which is not good enough. Over the course of a season, we'll probably see, you know, you lose more games than you get something from. I just thought, as well as that, like, just given the context of Saturday as well, I think everyone came out of Saturday really, really positive. With the point, I think we all agreed that it was a good, well-earned, hard-fought point. And I just thought, like, I know that, like, the messaging from the manager, it doesn't always translate perfectly into how the performance goes, but it's literally just like, win this game and you're done. Like, this is the game to go and win. And
do you know what it reminds me of? And I've seen someone else post this on the message board, so apologies for taking your point, but you were spot on. It reminds me of Burton away last year. We had a really good result a couple of days before then. And you think, right, now going to this midweek game, I think Burton was a game in hand as well. Oh, I can't remember now.
Yeah, it was. It was that penultimate game, wasn't it?
It's like it's in your hands. It, like, seize the moment. And yeah.
Yeah, we weren't able to do it. And I just think that, again, like it's just themes that we've talked about all season, isn't it, really? So, you know, I guess we're kind of at the risk of just repeating ourselves every week, but it is the same things that are occurring. I just think the quality from the middle of the park's not there. There's not enough invention in the sort of front third of the pitch. And I just think that we, generally speaking, looked quite shaky at the back. I know it's not something that was necessarily mirrored in the manager's comments afterwards, but yeah, I thought it was a really poor showing. And you know what? There's part of me that thinks, and this is something I said to Julian, who I was at the game with and travelling back with, assuming that we do survive, because obviously it's still very unlikely we'll get relegated, if you take everything into consideration, I kind of don't mind the way that we're staying up, which is essentially just crawling across the line and sort of falling across the line compared to last season, which was obviously total elation, because I think it just highlights what needs to change in the summer, and that there needs to be a real rethink on how we do things. Because there's nowhere really to hide when there's performances like this. I just think there's a lot of these players who have come up short a lot of times this season, and throughout some of them 2 or 3 or even 4 years in some cases. And we just can't carry it anymore. Like, we just, you know, particularly when you look at like the teams that are confirmed to be in this division next season, your Wrexhams, your Stockports, your Mansfields, who are coming up, you know, there will be teams coming down for the Championship who will have ambition of bouncing straight back. It's going to be a much harder league, particularly at the bottom end, I think, than it has been this season. And I'm not being funny. If you're carrying players like this who are just consistently between poor and average, you will get thrown around like a dog toy next season. So that's the concern. You know, the positive, I guess, is that there's teams below us who are literally falling over themselves to get relegated, particularly Port Vale. And obviously Cheltenham are still a few points behind us. So there's your positive, and it's still very much in our hands. But I thought Tuesday night was a really poor showing. And if anything, it's just made the rest of the season a little bit more complicated than it needed to be. And I think that's where the frustration is for me.
Definitely. I think next season, if we're in League One, I think it'll be the hardest one since we've been back. Let's touch on some of the details from Tuesday night. You talked a second ago about the centre of the park. Big headline, sort of ahead when the teams were announced, was Adam May starting. Gary Monk today confirmed in the press conference that he rested Cousins. Cousins is fit for the Derby's visit to the Abbey on Saturday. I feel pretty confident in saying Cousins comes straight back in for Adam May. Don't feel like he did a lot on Tuesday to bolster his chances. And it's, yeah. What was your take on Adam May's performance?
I thought he was a passenger. I don't think he played very well. Don't think he played particularly badly. I just thought he was pretty anonymous. And unfortunately, I guess you can argue through no fault of his own because of his injury, that's what he's become at this level. Not a massive surprise, to be honest. And I did not think I'd be saying this 6 weeks ago, but God, I can't wait for Jordan Cousins to get back in this football team. I think if anyone takes credit out the last 3 or 4 weeks of you know, putting ourselves in the situation we are, where in theory we should comfortably see ourselves over the line to some extent, with maybe a game or two to spare. Cousins is probably the one that's played quite well, I think. I think it's a really odd decision, if he's fit and available, not to play him, regardless where you want to keep him at the end of the season. I'll be honest, I'm not that bothered about managing his body and managing his fitness. Like, just get the job done. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a bit
weird.
Short-sighted.
It's a weird one, because on Saturday, it looked like Ahad Mae was a bit leggy. So it kind of made sense that he didn't play, and he didn't start at least, and he was rested. But yeah, I'm with you. If Cousins is fit, which isn't something we thought he would be a lot this season, but he's got to play. I was disappointed with Adam May. I just don't think he's got... I know he wasn't the most mobile player before, but it feels like his mobility has really taken a hit since he's come back. On the plus side, a first team appearance for George Hoddle. Didn't play that long, but I thought he did all right.
Yeah, did okay. Probably a bit of a footnote, I guess, on the evening. But he'll remember it. He'll remember it fondly. I'm sure he will. You know, they will do when they make their debut. It's a proud moment, I'm sure, for himself and his family. I imagine he would have said it in an interview somewhere, which tends to be the line that gets trotted out. But fair play to him. Yeah, obviously a player we've got, I guess, high hopes for. It was a bit of an odd decision to chuck him in then. But yeah, good for him.
The commentators for the Bristol Rovers, because I was watching the Bristol Rovers stream with the Hamburg U's, they were making jokes about whether it was Glenn Hoddle. I guess that's the start of his career, of having to deal with that joke from visiting fans. Elsewhere on the pitch then, were you surprised that he went with Bon up front, sort of on his own as a target man? Obviously played fairly well on Saturday as part of a two. He's not small, but he's not, you know, he's not the biggest, is he? It did seem a bit of an odd call asking him to do that. Were you surprised with that, and how do you think he got on?
I wasn't surprised to see him start again, because look, he's obviously waited so long for a goal. Like, he's had a really poor season, really poor couple of seasons, in all honesty. And you feel like when you get the goal, or he gets the goal, in the situation that he did against the opposition that he did, he would in theory have been riding quite high on that. And that's the time when you want to ride your centre forwards. You want to really, you know, squeeze them, you know, at that point when their confidence is high. So it wasn't surprising to me that he started. Like I say, Ahad Mae wasn't great on Saturday, so not necessarily a surprise in itself to see him drop out of the team. But yeah, I thought it was a really difficult evening, for Bon. Another one I thought posed little to no impact on the game. And just, you know, thankfully he's on loan and not under contract next season, so I'm not sure we'd have many takers if we had the job of moving him on in the summer. I don't want to be necessarily too harsh, but let's be honest, he hasn't exactly put in or made it, you know, given us a decision to make in terms of keeping him or not keeping him. Again, thought it was a really poor show from Bon.
Tuesday marked 150th appearance for James Brophy.
Oh, fucking hell, here we go.
How are we going to navigate this one, Tom? Because that is, to be, you know, let's start with a bit of respect. Like, that is quite a milestone to make in under three seasons. It's impressive in my eyes. Splits opinion. And I think come the summer, it'll probably be one of the biggest talking points. You know, does he stay? Does he not stay? Do we keep him? Do we not keep him? Where are you sat at the moment on this one?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I think, you know, it's one bit of praise that you can shell on James Brophy that you can't on many other players. At least he's been available, you know, a lot. God knows we've had a lot of injury problems to important players in the squad, particularly going forward over the last couple of years. And Brophy's been one who has always been a constant in the team. Sometimes thankfully and sometimes not so thankfully, unfortunately. I know it's really basic and I know it's really simplistic and it's probably reducing it too much, or, you know, kind of condensing the argument to something that's a bit too simple. But 150 games and one goal for someone who's played predominantly on the wing in what I guess is by definition a fairly attacking position is just not good enough. And I think that's been the kind of the story, really. I think he's a really important player in his first season with us. You know, obviously you have to give him the respect that he was a massive part of some really good moments for the football club. You know, whether you're talking about wins away at Newcastle, Ipswich, you know, securing our place in League One in you know, comparatively ridiculously comfortable fashion. But yeah, it's just waned, hasn't it? And I think this season, what we've just seen is just a total lack of any ability to really impact football games at the top end of the pitch. It's so noticeable now, like, you know, everything slows down so much when it gets to Brophy. And it's like, if even if like on the rare occasion you do put together like a relatively slick counter attack, it gets passed out to the left hand side, and you're in a position where you just think, just get the ball in the box, do something quick, catch him off guard, give your striker an opportunity. And he takes six, seven, eight touches, and all of a sudden they've got men behind the ball, and it's just like impossible to create anything out of it. And I'm really sorry, you know, I know there's the argument that he gets up the pitch and he's good at that sort of thing, but you know, fuck me, we're potentially going into our fourth season at this level. Like, we have to ask a little bit more of our players than that, I think. You know, the ability to win a throw-in every now and again, you know, a few yards further forward when he picked it up, isn't cutting the mustard for me. Maybe I'm expecting too much, but I'd like to see a little bit more from a player like that. And I have to say, in the context of Tuesday, goal, he's got a massive part to play in that, because he totally loses his man. And given that a big part
He's
of the
ball
reason.
watching, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, look, given a big part of the reason that he's defended so heavily by some people is because of his defensive qualities, he's let us down, unfortunately, there. I'm not sure there's a massive conversation to be had around Brophy, to be honest. I think unless he's happy to stay here as a squad player, I think he'll move on. But I think the days where, you know, you'd look at Brophy and think, here's a guy who should be starting every week, I think they're well behind us. So look, fair credit to him for what he's done while he's been here, because he has been part of some big things and some memorable moments, and you know, a really likable team at one point. But yeah, I think in terms of going forward in League One, particularly in the context what League One's going to look like, not for me, Clive.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of names in the squad.
There's loads, George. There's
Yeah.
loads, and you know, obviously it's a chat that we can have, I guess, when we know for sure which division we're going to be playing in, because it probably makes more sense at that point. But make no mistake, whether it's players who are under contract or out of contract in the summer, we have to make a big job of shifting a lot of these players, because a lot of them just simply aren't good enough if we're going to progress at this level.
Yeah, what I was going to say is there's a good few names in this squad that have somehow racked up a really large number of appearances, and then you look at the stats next to it, you know, the goals, the assists, and it's nowhere near. And I'm sure we'll have a big discussion about this in one of the summer pods around how relevant or how fair the stats are compared to how they've been asked to play in certain seasons, and you know, how defensive certain managers have been. But I think you get to 150 appearances, and I just don't think you can have a defence for one goal if you're an attacker. But anyway, we'll pick this
Sure,
up
I'd
in the
make the
summer.
argument that you know, obviously there's five of us that regularly contribute to the pod. Obviously, Owen does a lot on the website, so six of us as a group. I would make a genuine argument, and I don't want to go too football phoning on this, but
I
I
think you're
think
going to do it. I think you're going to do
you know
it.
you know exactly what I'm going to say, don't you? I think if you gave any one of us 150 appearances, I genuinely believe that I simply would have scored more goals. I genuinely believe that.
No, I don't think so.
I wholeheartedly believe I would have
Not
scored
on this
more goals.
level. Don't be silly.
Jordan, I wholeheartedly believe I would have scored more goals in 150 games. I genuinely believe that.
I'm glad you believe it. I'm not believing it, mate. I'm not believing it.
Bear in mind that I
Are
would have had, you know,
you putting
no
yourself on
time.
penalties?
No, you know, just to keep it fair, I won't give myself penalties. I'll do it purely from open play. You know, let's be honest. If I was in a position where I was going to be playing 150 games for Cambridge United in less than 3 seasons as well, I obviously wouldn't do my normal pre-match routine or post-match routine. So let's say I'd be slightly more prepared for the games that is coming up as well. So that plays a part in it. And I have to say, I was quite lethal in the box back in the day. So and still am to some extent when I can get on the pitch. So yeah, I'm really sorry, and I know it's really basic, but yeah, maybe if you are making the choice of who to give a contract to, maybe reach out to myself.
Oh man.
Come
Right,
and get me, please. That's what it is. You want to come and get me, please.
let's move this on. Let's move this on. I feel like we've touched the game. We touched on the game quite a lot, but just one last point that I really wanted to get out there. Gary Monk post-match. I'm not really one to put too much in the basket of how managers speak and what they say. I'm more concerned about what they, you know, results they get on the pitch and what they're saying on the training pitch and stuff like that. So I'm not really one to be sort of moved or bothered by pre or post match interviews. But I watched the one on Tuesday saying how unfortunate we were to not get a point. And I did just find myself thinking, like, what games have you been watching? I know we hit the post, which again seemed more fortunate than like a good chance. And there was the Digby opportunity in the first half, which really, really should have scored. But I don't know. Really didn't get that point.
Yeah, mate, I thought it was a really strange interview. I'm sort of happy to give him the benefit of doubt of the doubt a little bit, because I guess there's two ways of unpicking it, and there's two ways of kind of kind of reviewing it really. One of those is that he's just kind of playing the game a little bit. He's trying to take some pressure off his players and shell a bit of praise on them while there's still a job to be done there. And obviously, he's put a massive positive spin on the game. Like, you talk about sugarcoating things. This is less sugarcoating and more taking an apple in so much toffee that you break your teeth while you're trying to get into it. And that's fine. And managers do that all the time, you know. And you know, it's not necessarily a surprise that he would try to make things seem a little bit better than what they were. There's also another way of looking at it, which is if that is what Gary Monk genuinely believes to be a really good performance that should have yielded at least one and potentially 3 points, then it makes me really concerned for next season, regardless of what league we're in. Because make no mistake about it, that was not a performance that was good enough, and Bristol Rovers were deserved winners. And if we had taken a point out of it, it would have been scrambling out with one, because they had the majority of the game, they created more chances, they had more of the ball, they showed more quality on the ball than we did. And if they hadn't won the game, they'd have been very disappointed. That and I think that was pretty evident to the, what, 6,500 people that were watching, and the, you know, however many people were in Hamburg watching it at home.
That's such a bang out of form team as well. That's you know, I said at the top, that's what really frustrates me. Speaking of Gary Monk interviews, we should probably talk about the one that he gave today on Thursday, pre-derby press conference. Not too much to dissect from this one, Tom, but let's start with the positive. He talked about the consistency over the last five games or so and how happy he is with that. He mentions the obvious about needing to raise it up a little bit more on Saturday, given, you know, how good Derby are and what they're going for. But yeah, I feel like I would agree with what he's been saying. I think the last five games, I know I've spent 20 minutes talking about how frustrating and annoyed I was by Tuesday night. But regardless of that, I do think the last five have got good signs, good encouraging signs there.
I think overall, yeah, I think it's better. Mind you, what we have to compare it to is maybe not the yardstick you necessarily want to be using. If you're looking at how do you want to judge your performance? Because let's not forget that what preceded this run of five games was 10 goals shipped in two, which obviously it doesn't need me to say, but I will say it anyway, is nowhere near good enough. So yeah, I think he's right to say it. I think he's right to say that it has been better. I think the international break clearly did us the absolute world of good. That's something he's referred to a couple of times. I suppose even out of the Bristol Rovers game, and even out of the defeat at Blackpool, like if you do want to put a bit of a positive spin on it, like, we are competing in these games a little bit more. And that's something that we did talk about. You know, we said, look, there's ways to lose football matches. I would maintain that I don't think we were that good. I think we were quite poor at Bristol Rovers, like we've just discussed. I'm not sure we were quite as good as has been discussed at Blackpool. I'm not sure we would necessarily value for two or more points out of those games, for example. But I think it would be unfair to say that we weren't at it and we weren't competing. Which is an improvement, right? And I think if you take, what, 7 points from every five games across the course of the season, you probably stay up. So it's probably not a bad thing to look at that and go, well, can we try and replicate that moving forward? And if you can add a few and remove a few from the squad as well, and keep working on, you know, a style of football or a strategy that he wants to implement, then who knows? Maybe the future's, or the outlook is a little bit brighter than maybe we've given it credit for in the first bit of the show. But fair credit, it's better than it was, but I think there's still work to be done.
One of the things he was asked about was playing out from the back, he mentioned how this is early stages and wants the team to be better at it, and sort of saying bigger picture is this is probably something we're going to be looking at next season. That's obviously going to influence his recruitment and things like that. Is it irrational for me to just be really scared at the thought of Cambridge United playing it out from the back?
No, it's not irrational. You're totally within your right to feel very, very uneasy about it.
Good, good.
Because it could be brilliant, but it could be a total disaster.
Elsewhere, we talked about the squad. We mentioned Jordan Cousins earlier. He was rested. He is fit to play. I imagine he comes straight back in, Tom.
Yeah, I think so, based on everything we've just discussed. Obviously not our decision, but hopefully the evidence of what we saw on Tuesday night will speak for itself.
Elsewhere in central midfield, he was asked about Jack Langster and why he hasn't sort of been involved as much. And the response was around, you know, Jack Langster's just been unfortunate due to sort of other people performing well. Have you been surprised that we've not seen too much of Jack Langster on the pitch, especially when he's been playing two number 10s?
Yeah, I think so. I would argue the point that there's not been too many standout performers. I think we've been better, but I don't think he's been kept out of the team by players ahead of him who have just simply been on like electric form that can't be displaced. I think he has been a bit unfortunate, to be honest, because I think he was one that in that sort of spell between Harris leaving and Monk coming in, I think was one that looked like he was giving a bit more than maybe others. And it's weird because Monk was talking about how well he'd been training when he first came in and how he was like a standout performer in training. So maybe not to have more opportunities is a bit weird. But again, you know, maybe he's a victim of the fact that he's been at the football club now for, what, 3 years and has struggled to put together a consistent run of good performances. And who knows, maybe Monk looks at that and goes, are you someone I want to rely on when we've got a job to do? And maybe the answer to that has just been no. Particularly when you think, you know, Kachunga's got, you know, Pedri are playing at a higher level, Kaikai's played at this level for a lot longer and obviously has shown good quality at points this season and certainly throughout his career, and maybe just feels they're better options. So yeah, maybe he's a little bit unfortunate, but you know, unlucky.
Let's wrap up the press conference by just recapping that Morrison is still out, so we won't see him. Mentioned that Jack Stevens is a possibility. I would be surprised if he dislodges Mannion and comes straight back in.
That'd be a really odd decision. Like, of decisions like not playing Cousins on Tuesday night, like, I get that, you know, you can kind of explain that off with the whole managing the squad or the rest of it. To start Jack Stevens, given where he was at when he went out of the team, ahead of Will Mannion, given where he has been in the last few weeks, I think it'd be fucking disgraceful, to be honest. Because literally, what's the point in having a sub goalkeeper if that's the case? It's ridiculous. Like, they're never ever going to, you know, get their opportunity. If they come in, they play well, and are dropped the second the other guy comes back, who is in no way, shape, or form definitely a better goalkeeper than him. Yeah. At best, they're equal. And I think, on the balance, what we've seen recently, Will Mannion is simply a better goalkeeper.
How many games? I'm just trying to think how many games Jack Stevens played this season. I want to compare the number of games he's played in goal at League One. And if you were to play in goal in League One at those number of games, how many clean sheets you might keep?
Oh, in fancy in goal.
You're not as confident? Between the sticks?
Not for me at all, mate, to be honest with you. I would much rather goal hang up front with only one thing on my mind. That's simply scoring two in 150.
To prove a point. Right, final point from the presser. Lyle Taylor is a possibility for the weekend. Is there, I don't know, maybe I'm being romantic here. Is there still a chance for him to have a big impact in these final three games? I'm just thinking, you know, Ahadme has been great, but obviously has been looking a little bit sort of tired in games, you know, maybe, you know, looking at, you know, Saturday, Tuesday coming up, maybe he won't be able to do 90 back-to-back. Doesn't really seem to be trusting Okunibere to start. Is there, you know, is there kind of a gap here for Lyle Taylor to sign out the season on a high and maybe make himself a hero one last time and keep us up?
Yeah, I think there has to be. I think we've seen enough quality in Lyle Taylor's performances, to know that he's a player who can have that sort of impact. And if, you know, he has enough minutes, probably will have that sort of impact at some point. I think it's fair to say that his performances weren't as good post Harris as they were while he was here. Maybe that's a coincidence. Maybe it's not. Who knows? But yeah, I'd like to think that he is a player who can impact things. If he gets on, of course, you know, Tuesday night you're losing the game and one of your centre forwards is sat on the bench and doesn't get on at all. So who knows? Maybe Monk prefers doing things a decided different way. But yeah, I would like to think that if Lyle is fit and available to some extent, he would get on. And I'd like to think that he has the quality to hurt teams.
Right. Let's look ahead to Saturday then. The visit of Derby County, currently second in the table, in a very good position to go up automatically. Before we talk about that game, Tom, let's listen to your preview with the Steve Bloomer's washing machine.
Right, then, news fans, we're joined by Chris from the Steve Bloomer's Washing Podcast. One of the better named podcasts out there, it's fair to say.
Thank you.
Everything relating to Derby County ahead of a pretty big game on Saturday. Obviously impacting ourselves at the bottom end and Derby right at the top end sat nicely in second place, 3 points clear of third, 6 points clear of Posh, albeit having played a game more, who are obviously down in fourth. Chris, probably not too much use in talking about the season and how it's all gone so far, I guess. More about how you're feeling at the moment ahead of a pretty big week or so for you guys.
I'm feeling good. Yeah, I'm feeling good. It has been an up and down season for Derby. It might not look that way with us sitting in a very, 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 very good position, second, and with it still in our hands. But yeah, look, in the week we were... I don't think any Derby fan has ever cared as much as we did about a Shrewsbury Town result as we did on in the midweek when they got a great point at Bolton, which it was a game we were all expecting Bolton to roll them over. So that result basically means that I think win against yourselves at the weekend and we are basically as good as promoted, even if Bolton win, because the goal difference is far better and will be 3 points clear with one game to go, going into playing Carlisle at home on the final day, the worst team in League One at home with nothing to play for. So, yeah, look, we're in a very, very good position. Hasn't always been as rosy all season. Not everyone is completely sold on a manager still, believe it or not. And when it's been bad and we haven't got the results and performances we wanted, it hasn't been great to watch. But look, you got to hold your hands up and say that Paul Warne and his staff and the players have done a fantastic job overall. And yeah, got us on the brink of what only, I think, the third promotion in my lifetime, which is quite a depressing thought.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, look, from where we are, it looks like it's gone pretty, you know, all very swimmingly. You know, admittedly, the ambitions of the two clubs could probably literally not be more different at this level, certainly. You mentioned a bit of a topsy-turvy season, though, from your end. How do you mean by that? How has it all sort of played out?
Yeah, well, I mean, I say that. We've never really had a terrible rut of winless games or defeats. We have generally bounced back from bad results quite quickly. I think we've only lost back-to-back games twice all season. It's just that, you know, a lot of people aren't sold on Warne's style. It is very direct. It is relatively unsophisticated, some would say. So when we've had bad results, you know, we got turned over by like Shrewsbury earlier in the season and away at Stevenage and even the return fixture that we had a goalless draw against Cambridge in sort of late 2023, I think, which was a very frustrating performance. And, you know, look, there have been voices of discontent who don't see Warne as the man to take us forward. Clearly, obviously, those voices are very much quiet now and everyone's happy with where we are. But yeah, I think it's just the fact that from our point of view, it hasn't been a particularly strong League One this season. Compare it to last season when you had like Plymouth and Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday, who got like, what, 102 points, 100 points and 96 or whatever it was. No team has really run away with League One this year. Portsmouth have been great. Of course they have. They deserve to win the league. But we've been just behind them, despite not being that convincing ourselves for large parts of it. So I think that's where it's come from. But yeah, here we are, two games away. And I don't think if you offered any Derby County fan that, in August, we'd have already bitten your hand off.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought so. It's always always good to have it, I guess, totally in your own hands. And I guess if you could have picked two fixtures, probably the two that you've got are maybe maybe as favourable as you might have liked. You mentioned a bit about Warren's style, quite direct. How does he tend to set the team up?
One or two ways, really. So recently, he's sort of reverted to three at the back and wing backs, and then James Collins, who got a couple against Cambridge last season, and Nathaniel Mendes-Lang sort of playing off him, or he'll sometimes go for a sort of flexible 4-3-3 with like two sitting midfielders and more traditional fullbacks. I think the issue some fans have had with Warren, and for the record, it doesn't really bother me, is that his game plan is basically just make Derby's players fitter than the opposition. Like, he really drills them. He loves crosses. We always get it wide quickly. The pattern of play is, as I say, not hugely sophisticated. It's fast. It thrives on crosses in the box. So when it works, it's good. But when it doesn't, it can be a bit of a tough watch. That's what hasn't made all Derby fans happy this campaign.
Yeah, I think it tended to be the way at Rotherham for him as well, didn't it? It was
100%, yeah.
And you know, you obviously can't argue with his record at this level anyway, with that. So look, it's obviously worked to this point, and I guess for you guys, you'll hope it will carry on at least for Saturday. Looking through the squad then, I mean, you know, from a Cambridge United angle, sat sort of right towards the bottom end of the table. When I look through Derby's squad, I see pretty much a Championship team, to be honest. But I mean, for yourself, who would you pick out as the sort of main players and the key ones that we've got to look out for on Saturday?
I mean, there's a couple of players who really have stepped up. You're right. Look, there's a lot of experience in that Derby team. I mean, players like Sonny Bradley, who got a brace at the weekend, was signed last summer, and he was literally quoted saying, like, I'm here to get promoted. This squad knew what the mission was. But in terms of individuals, Nathaniel Mendes-Lang has had an absolutely amazing season. I think if he hasn't hit double figures for goals, he's very close, but he's got probably, I think it's about 16 assists or something ridiculous. So like, in terms of goal contributions, which is the stat people love these days, he's like about 25, 26 goal contributions, which is just ridiculous. And on his day, he's too good for this division, basically. He's certainly one to watch out for. James Collins has come back from injury recently, who, as I said, got a brace at Cambridge last season. And elsewhere, we haven't really yet seen Corey Blackett-Taylor really kick on. He was a January signing for Derby from Charlton, the first player Derby actually paid a transfer fee for since our transfer embargo was lifted, which we had for a good couple of years. So there's quite a lot of expectation there, like, you know, tricky, fast, skillful wide player, but he hasn't really kicked on yet. So maybe, hopefully, this could be the game where he bursts into life, even if it is on the second last game of the season. So yeah, we've got quality, and there's even players like Conor Harahan, who can't actually get in the team right now because he just doesn't quite have the physical qualities that Warren looks for. I mean, he is in the twilight of his career, and running was never his strong point, to be brutally honest. But he's his set pieces are obviously, as you'd expect, almost always right on the money. Always a danger from free kicks around the box and corners. So I'm hoping that we have got enough in different ways to cause you problems and get a result at the weekend.
Yeah, well, I guess it's kind of crunch question. Obviously, massive game, potentially a defining one for Derby. I mean, how do you see it going?
I think we'll do it. I think we will do it. I mean, it's if we did win, it would be Derby's 13th away win of the season, which would be a club record. The record is 12, which was under Billy Davis back in 2007. So it would be a nice way to do it. Obviously, you guys at Cambridge have got your own issues and you're not quite safe yet. So we were talking on our own podcast about whether it's better to play a team who are on the beach and who might play with freedom, but basically are phoning it in, or a team with something to play for who might take more risks and leave it out there I'm not really sure it makes a difference, to be honest. Like, League One has banana skins, you know, in a lot of places, with no disrespect to Cambridge at all. But I think we'll do it. I think it'll be tough, but just the expectation. And I think if you could pick anyone to give this Derby team a team talk and know what to say to get these players over the line and motivate them in the right way and tell them what it means and tell them what it means to our fans who, let's not forget, were in administration 2 years ago. And with everything we've been through in the last 5 years, it would be Paul Warne. So, you know, he'll do a fantastic team talk. We've got players who are in form. We are scoring goals and the players can see it. They can see it. It's within touching distance. So I think we'll do it. I don't think it'll be as straightforward as some hope, because Derby have got a habit of making things difficult, as a lot of fans say about their teams. But I think we'll do it. I'll say by the odd goal, maybe a 2-1 or a 3-2, something like that, or 1-0.
Thank you very much for doing that, Tom. That's kind of you. I feel, how do you think the mood is at Derby? I mean, they're in a good position. They've got two games left. They've got us and Carlisle at home. They must be banking on going up automatically, right?
Yeah, I think it's important to note at this point that we are having this conversation before I have the conversation with the Derby.
I was trying to style it out.
Yeah, no, I know. But the thing is, I know what's going to happen here is that people have listened to this. They'll just listen to a Derby fan basically shitting himself on a podcast. Then I come and go, oh, mate, yeah, they're absolutely bang up for it. They can't wait.
If you were a Derby fan, you'd be confident, though. That's probably the better question, right? Us then Carlisle.
Oh, yeah, of course. Big time, mate.
Easier than Harrogate and Grimsby as your final two games.
And let's not forget, we made extremely hard work of that. Mate, if it was us, put it this way, I'd be very nervous. Very, very nervous, because it's almost too simple. Yeah, I think they'll be bang up for it.
Tom, I've written Saturday off, mate. That's a defeat in my eyes. What are you thinking? Are you a little bit more confident that we might be able to stay in the game, maybe get a draw?
I would like to be. I just think, like, we've seen over the course of a few years now that these are the games we struggle in. And I just think, like, if there's a chance that Derby can get promoted on Saturday and there's a situation where they need a goal or something, or they need a winner or an equaliser or whatever it might be to go up, I'm not sure we'll be able to stand the heat, basically. I just look throughout their squad, I look at their players, and I just think, like, there's a bit too much in there for me to think that if it's really needed, they won't be able to go up a gear to kind of get a job done. You know, in a way that I don't think you can really talk about any of the games we've had under Monk so far. You know, if you look at, like, the Posh game, for example, Bolton away, teams in very similar situations to Derby, and they kind of beat us quite comfortably without even having to get out of second gear. And I think Derby, well, obviously the table, I guess, doesn't really lie at this stage. They are better than both those teams, at least for the moment. And I think it's a really, really tough test. And we're kind of looking at other results, right? And obviously that's the way it has to be at this stage of the season. But if other things go our way, I'm not really sure I'm that bothered if it plays out the way that I expect it will. But
I was going to say, yeah, the joy of Saturday is I can't really see anyone getting wins, right? So Cheltenham have got Lincoln at home. Lincoln are desperate for the points for the playoffs. Burton are hosting Reading. Reading are, like, bang in form. Port Vale, I think they've got... Have they got Bolton?
Yeah, Bolton away.
Yeah, they're away to Bolton. I think come 5 o'clock Saturday, Tom, we're probably looking at, like, the bottom four, five, six teams in exactly the same spot. I can't see anyone picking up points. Cue everyone winning now.
That's famous last words, if ever there were them. Cheers that, George. And I'm pretty sure that Cheltenham will be very happy with you for saying that.
How are you gonna line up on Saturday, Tom? What changes do you make? Ryan Bennett back in?
Brophy out, Walker in. That's the key one. because we need.
He's going to get two goals. I can see it.
I'm not doing any defensive work though, so we are going to have to rejig things a little bit.
You say yeah. Walker in actually. I've listening to the Bristol game on Tuesday night pre-game. They were playing sort of past radio footage commentary of when we last won at Bristol, and John Turner scored a couple, and Justin Walker was on the score sheet. So. Just reminded me of that moment from Tuesday night, which was very surreal hearing someone talking about Justin Walker.
Do you fancy bringing him back? In fact, he's on the coaching staff at Derby, I think.
Is he actually?
I might have made that up. Hang on, George. Just give it's me a second while I Google this.
It's a popular name, right?
I'm very much doing this live, but I'm pretty sure he is. That's an actor from the States. That's not the
You're right. You're right. He is.
Yeah. Oh, wow. How have we done that? Incredible. Do you think he'll get a warm welcome at the Abbey, where he's obviously famously very liked from his time as a player?
I don't think anyone would have known or recognised him until they've listened to this pod.
Incredible. Well, there's knowledge for you. Anyway, our team. I think Cousins comes back in. I think that's got to be the obvious change. I think May drops out. And then I guess the conversation is probably around centre-back, right? Or I suppose you would say, does Gibbons come straight back in? For me, probably he does.
Yeah.
In place of Brophy. And then I think, yeah, it is a conversation. What do you do at centre half? I think if you look at Derby's forwards, what they've got available to them, I think we're crying out for a bit of experience there. As much as it's been good to see Rossi getting a bit of a go in the team, and Job obviously as well. I think Ryan Bennett might come back in, or that's probably what I'd do. And that's probably about it, to be honest.
Depends on Ahadmay's fitness, I guess.
Yeah, I would like to think we'd be in a position to get Ahadmay back in because, you know, again, I think we just need a bit more presence up there.
Do you know what? I think I'd keep Brophy in, but move him to that 10 position. I don't think Kaikai did enough on Tuesday night to help the defence out. And I think we're going to be under the cosh a lot on Saturday. So I'd maybe make that swap. I know I've not been overly positive on Brophy in this podcast so far, but I do think he does the defensive job better than, say, you know, Kaikai, Kachunga, others, Lancaster, others that play in that 10 role. So that's another change I'd consider.
Yeah, fair enough. Probably an interesting one, but yeah.
Plus, I want him to be on the pitch to see you score that second goal in front of the NRE and shush them all.
Shush me. It's becoming a feature, that.
Right. Score predictions. I'm going 3-1 Derby. With either a Brophy or Walker goal for Cambridge.
Which one do you think is genuinely more likely?
Brophy, without a doubt.
I don't know, Jewel. I reckon it's 50-50. And that is saying something. Yeah, really, really hard to kind of look at this one with too much ambition, I think. Can we keep a clean sheet? Is that going to be our best hope, I guess, maybe? Look, I think Derby will have too much for us. I think it might be too. I've got a 2-0 Derby, unfortunately. And the positivity in me says that the other results will go our way, so it won't all be bad.
So we take it to the final week. A lot riding on that Tuesday night. It's a good job we have such a great Tuesday night record, hey?
Yep, something for everyone to look forward to.
Tom, you promised me before we end the pod that we talk about Steve Evans. Steve Evans to Rotherham. What are your thoughts on that? And follow-up question, what are your thoughts on Cheltenham going to Stevenage on the last game of the season, then potentially managerless?
I don't like it at all.
Don't
forget Cheltenham also go to Posh, who may by that point have confirmed that they won't get in the top two, but they will be in the playoffs.
Yeah, when Derby smash us on Saturday, putting them out of reach of Borough, it's all syncing up quite nicely in a not very nice way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Don't worry, George, you're not telling me anything I wasn't already thinking. But yeah, you're right.
But yeah, that I was really surprised by that one midweek. I know this isn't a Steve Evans podcast, but...
Is there one? Is that a gap in the market?
potentially. Rotherham, they're always a good team when they're at
Literally
this
a
level.
Big gap, wouldn't it?
Joey Barton would want to be on it. He had some thoughts on Twitter about that appointment.
Now we're talking.
Right. Yeah, so we don't like what's been going on in League One so far, but hopefully Saturday is a better day for all. Tom, we're going to have to end it here because you need to go speak to the washing machine lot.
Yeah, which obviously everyone else would have heard about 15 minutes ago. But yes, I do.
And they're going to be like, wow, they're really confident, as they should be.
Yeah, well, let's see.
We'll be back on Monday reviewing everything that went on Saturday. Hopefully it's a good day all round for United. And then we'll also be previewing that final Tuesday night, final home fixture of the season against Wickham, which could be shaping up to be very, very massive. Thank you very much for listening. Tom, thanks for your time, mate.
Yeah, not a problem. Pleasure as always, George.